Would you call yourself Thundercat?
Well, I appreciate it, Thunder.
Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer.
Matt Hamilton. Help me out. Who is that?
Wisconsin football analyst.
You know what? It feels like Molly's the only one that's being sincere about that. So, Molly, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Mark Tauscher on Jim, Matt, and Molly is brought to you by Chalmers Jewelers. Chalmers Jewelers, with locations in Middleton and downtown Madison.
Welcome back to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Jim Rutledge, Alex G with you. We got Riley Yauch behind the glass, and we got Chrissy Birdsall in the studio as well. And we're thrilled to be joined by Mark Tauscher. And, Mark, we were kind of just talking about some of the dynasties, the Steelers, the 49ers, Cowboys, Patriots, and now the Chiefs. And it got me wondering, do you think the Packers would have won more Super Bowls if Mike Holmgren never left?
Ooh, good question. I would think so. Obviously, his run in the mid-90s and what he was able to do was huge. But I think that loss to Denver and then the way it ended, he ended up getting to another Super Bowl with Seattle. So I think his foundation was always really good. And I think Brett, you know, whether or not that that message and that voice would have eventually gotten old, I don't know. That era of Packer football, I think, ended that day out in San Francisco when Holmgren left, and then it took a while to kind of reboot it. But I think you would have hoped that they would have been able to, you know, at least get to another one and hopefully win it.
And just following up on that, just with the Holmgren era, one thing I think, and it's obviously you look back retroactively, it's hard to do it in the moment, but he came from the Bill Walsh coaching tree, and obviously Bill Walsh had a great coaching tree. But Mike Holmgren, as Andy Reid is going to the Super Bowl again, and John Gruden and others, like, I think these coaches are as much a product of the assistants they hire than their actual own brilliance. Is that a fair way to look at it?
I think it's a very fair way to look at it. And you look at, obviously, Sean McVay won a championship. Kyle Shanahan has not, but it just seems like that tree keeps repopulating itself. Yeah. And you saw it a little bit with the Packers saying they needed an upgrade at defensive line, outside linebacker, to get more production. The assistant coaches and position coaches, that's where you make your hay. You get guys to improve. You get buy-in. And I do think those spots, you know, offensive coordinator gets a lot of play caller, defensive coordinator, and deservedly so. But you want guys that are going to continue to help their players improve so that they can execute what the play is called at a higher level. And I think you've seen the successful staffs. There's a reason they get rated. It's because these coaches are good and they're ready for their next step. And then it's, can you repeat that? And I think that's one of the things Detroit's going to have to deal with.
Mike Holmgren's 1992 staff, Andy Reid, Steve Mariucci, Dick Geron, Ray Rhodes, John Gruden.
A lot of head coaches on that staff.
Yeah, so as you look at it, and I've struggled with this too, because it's just been nothing but Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, it feels like, for the last handful of years. And so at what level is it the coaching and quarterback combo, or is it just a quarterback thing at this point? Because I'm struggling to see past the guys at the top.
I mean, there's a reason people chase quarterbacks and have that relationship with coaches. It makes a big difference. And the biggest thing, obviously, talent. But you saw it on Sunday night with what Mahomes did. You have that calm. And you have everybody, I thought the analogy, I think it was Damian Woody put it out there, of the Tiger Woods effect. It's not that it just affects your locker room and your team, that everybody believes that you can win. I know I felt that way with both Brett and Aaron, is every time we laced them up, I thought we're good enough because this position, we're going to win. And when you have that spot, you get that. And then when you have that experience of, it always works out, or it is going to work out 9 out of 10 times, which you do with Kansas City, you get that belief. And then on the flip side, everybody else presses. You're playing Tiger on Sunday, you feel like you got to do more. I think we saw that with Buffalo, especially early in the game. They pressed. And so it's a combination of a lot of things, but the biggest thing is you have that quarterback in the room. You have 100% buy-in, and most of the other locker rooms in the NFL don't.
Talking with Mark Tauscher on Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. And, Mark, with I think I heard this in the one of the Lions broadcasts where Dan Campbell went for it all the time on fourth down because he wanted his players to be comfortable in the uncomfortable, that when they had to go for it on fourth down later in the game when more pressure was on it, it wouldn't feel so big. And then I also heard Julian Edelman on Sportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman talking about how the Patriots, and the Chiefs reminded him of his time with the Patriots because basically the Chiefs kind of hang around just like the Patriots of like, hey, maybe you'll beat yourself. We're just going to hang around in this game. But because we've been in these close games at the end of the game, and maybe to your point about having the quarterback, we just are comfortable in the uncomfortable, so we know that we're going to go close it out. How much do you think that is an effect, whether it's going for it on fourth down a lot or just having that QB? Like, how much do you think that plays in? Because obviously some of these games, like Buffalo had Josh Allen, they believed in their quarterback too. So how much do you think having been in those moments over and over and over again helped create a dynasty like the Chiefs and the Patriots had?
It's about figuring out ways to win. I saw Matt Patricia on somebody's podcast talking about, you know, a lot of games are just lost. You know, the Packers against the Eagles, we just lost the game. We turned it over four times. Philly didn't do anything special. They hung around, and it's about figuring out a way, what does your team need to do to win? It's not always, well, my offense is going to be a juggernaut. Well, if you're running into the 85 Bears, maybe you need to slow down their offense and find different ways to win. And I think New England was great at that. You know, they win a Super Bowl 13-3. You realize what is the game asking for you to need to win. And then you go out, you put a plan together that will that your players can execute, and guys believe in it. When you have players that believe in the coaches are going to put you in a position to win, it's the same principles as the quarterback. Everybody has been in there already. They've seen it. They believe that they can. And when you do it, your belief only gets that much stronger.
So when you have that belief and that understanding, like the way to win, I'm curious, which coaches did you have specifically, you know, whether it was Holmgren or whoever? I guess you didn't play under Holmgren, but that did have that way to win. And like, have you seen that from Matt LaFleur?
I think it's a great question. You know, as far as what it takes to win, every team is different. And when you have those core guys like Kansas City has, or like New England had, you have so many guys to lean on. And you figure ways out about doing it. Matt LaFleur, I think, is still trying to figure out. I think part of the beginning of his process was with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, Devontae, Jordan, the whole crew. You try to find out what is it going to take at that time to find the recipe to win a football game. And the playoffs, everything is magnified, and it really does come down to you don't make mistakes, and when you have your opportunities, whether it's making a sack or batting a ball down at the end of a game, when you put your guys in those positions, they execute. And it just is a confidence thing that breeds upon itself.
I saw in a report, and obviously the Eagles were a team that creates turnovers against a lot of different teams, but the Eagles coaches and players watched every peanut punch from Charles Tillman's career. Nick Sirianni and Pat Doyle put together a tape of it, and the peanut punch has popped up basically throughout football now. And I'm trying to remember a player who had one specific thing, a move outside of like a quarterback, that's been basically copied and almost taught now as a technique in the NFL. You were playing during that time. Do you remember, were your team starting to try to figure out how to do the punch more, or was it something that's been adopted later? Because it does seem to be very popular now.
Yeah, we all knew Peanut Tillman, respected the heck out of him because he was great. He did it to our guys a bunch. And that is one of the things. I mean, LT with the strip sack,
yeah,
chopping down on the football from the blind side, that's another one that you see more and more guys emulating. But Charles Tillman is one of the, I mean, it is one of the signature moves in the NFL. And if Philly's teaching it, they're getting it because Zach Bond has done it a couple of different times. And those are the game-changing plays that you're talking about. Those are your winning plays, trying to find different ways to win. I remember it vividly, and Peanut Tillman is somebody that I know has everybody's respect in the NFL.
Yeah, and I wanted someone, not to transition to someone who maybe doesn't have the same amount of respect, but Brett Bielema spent a lot of time on social media today dunking on Jim Harbaugh, and it's really hard to figure out why, because Brett never beat Harbaugh. They never really overlapped with each other. Harbaugh obviously has a larger resume. What do you think of coaches, we don't have to be specific to this, but coaches basically trying to create publicity for themselves, I guess in theory, to drive eyeballs and attention to their program. Is, I guess Brett's under the idea of no news is bad, or basically no press is bad press, because this feels weird.
I think you just need to be authentic to who you are, and I think Brett likes stirring the pot.
Okay.
He did that fair. At Wisconsin. Be who you are, and I think Brett likes that. And, you know, whether or not he beat Michigan or not, I think the fact that Michigan has been clouded under all of these allegations, if he can find a way to get one or two recruits that maybe he wouldn't have because of it, or that bravado is, you know, sells, it's who Brett is. And I think if he was trying to be somebody he's not, he wouldn't be doing his team or himself anything positive. I don't have a problem with it. That's kind of how Brett operates.
With the Super Bowl, obviously, of Zach Bond and Leo Chanel, and it got me thinking about Luke Fickell, and he's got players in the NFL. Sauce Gardner, the Packers had one in DeGuara, Desmond Ritter. There's been guys from Cincinnati. Who do you think the first, whether it's a transfer portal guy or a guy that Luke Fickell brought in here as a freshman, who do you think that first Badger under the Luke Fickell era will be in the pros? Obviously, Hunter Waller will be there and Braylon Allen's there, but like a guy that Fickell brought in. Because I think that will help turn the program when more pro-type players come through, even if it's the T.J. Edwards, Zach Bond kind of, you know, Mark Tauscher, grind your way in the NFL and work your way up sort of pros.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that's going to be one of the things to see if we can get, you know, who those guys are going to be. I mean, Luke has been here 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Waller was here before. I think Hunter Waller is going to be a really good pro.
Yes.
Is he going to take credit for it? I don't know how all of that works.
Right. Yeah.
It's more importantly, I think, as a group and as a team, if you can start putting 6 and 7 guys out that are going to be in the draft. And I think the last couple of years, I don't even know. You know, I think Jack Nelson will get drafted. I think Huber will get drafted. Hunter will get drafted. It's about the collective. And then, you know, was anybody saying how great Zach Bond was before this season started?
No.
He was an early pick, but nobody said anything. And as a matter of fact, Philadelphia picked him up really at the back end of free agency early summer, and he is potentially the defensive player of the year. So it's always great for a program to have a bunch of guys in the pros, A, because it means you got a lot of really good players, but B, it sets that culture for more guys to come in and say, I want to do what Jimmy Leonard did, or I want to do, you know, what all of these great running backs or offensive linemen have done. That is what you're looking for, and I think that's what Luke Fickell was trying to kind of get done.
So Zach Bond has really come into his own this year. He's been in the league for a little while now. You were a grinder. You got there throughout just hard work. What Jim was saying earlier in the show was that, you know, Jordan Love has been around, and he's been in the NFL for a long time. He played a lot of games in college, and that, you know, the improvement will come in the margins more so than overall. Do you think that there's a chance that we'll see a huge leap from him at any point in his career moving forward?
I do. I mean, yeah, he's been around, but he's played 30-some games. You know, it's not as if he's, you know, a seasoned vet that has played, you know, just a ton of games already. He's still a lot of stuff that he has to see. He was not – I really think this year we're going to look back and say – he was not healthy. And one of the big things, I think, when you evaluated him, how did he run the football this year? He was not, you know, as getting out of the pocket and doing the things that he'd done prior last year. That was a big part of what made Jordan a really good player at the end of last season. So I think there's a lot of things that he can still improve upon. I think he's in that position that he's going to be able to. And it's not by any stretch of the imagination that he is like some finished product after playing only, you know, 30-some-odd games.
Yeah, and we'll have to see on it. The same coordinator, same offense, started more games than a lot of quarterbacks coming in, got a chance to sit. That, and again, he still will get better.
Right.
I'm just saying, I don't know if he jumps to Mahomes' level either. He might just be Jared Goff,
well,
which again,
I mean, Jim,
yes.
Who is going to be at Mahomes' level? Tom Brady's it.
I'm not saying it as a negative. I've just been saying that Jordan Love's a quarterback that I think will give you a bite at the apple every year to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Packer fans are used to Mahomes-level play with Aaron Rodgers and Favre. So that's my whole thing, that I think he will be a Packers Hall of Famer, not an NFL Hall of Famer. And Packer fans should be happy with that. That's what I see out of, Love for his career.
We don't know, but I think to try and compare anybody to Patrick Mahomes at this point is crazy. I mean, what he's done has been, nobody's ever done what he's attempting to do. So it's, I mean, if you can even put him in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes, you'd be happy. He's not there, but to say that that's the bar, I mean, you're talking about trying to get someone to do the World Olympic high jump after two years. That seems like a very unfair expectation for anybody.
I'm not setting that bar. We have plenty of callers chiming in. Like, let's move off of Love. Like, because he's not going to get there. Like, the entitled town aspect for it. My whole take is that
entitled town.
Most teams would take Jared Goff. And if he turns out to be Jared Goff, and Jared Goff gets more polished each year, you still should be happy with it. So I don't call it a detriment. I mean, I got nothing. Jay Cutler's the best quarterback I've seen in my lifetime. Caleb's going to pass that. But, like, right now, I got nothing. I'd take Jared Goff. So, like, obviously, I don't think it's a knock on Jordan Love to say that he could be that Jared Goff level QB, which he's been to one Super Bowl and gotten to two NFC Championship games and won multiple divisions.
Yeah, I just, you lost me when you were saying he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. I'm thinking, well, who is going to be Patrick Mahomes? That was my
right. No, and that's fans want to move off of him. Some do, and I was like, this is insane, because he's not. Maybe he won't be Aaron Rodgers, but you still would want him around.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's some fans. I don't sense that. I think it's more of I'd like to have seen more of a jump, but I still feel like most Packer fans are looking at Jordan Love and saying, I like the fact he has a lot of things you're looking for in a quarterback. He didn't have the big jump year that I think we all hope for, but I don't know of a ton are saying, let's go find Joe Flacco and bring him in here to take over. I don't sense there's many Packer fans.
No, it's a loud minority in the talking text line.
Right.
A couple people ready to maybe look at a QB in the draft. Mark, thank you so much for hopping on.
You bet.
All right, that's Mark Tauscher, brought to you by Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton. Madison's custom jeweler, Madison's family-owned jeweler, Chalmers Jewelers. We'll wrap the show next.